Well, there doesn't seem to be any shortage of disability portal stories out there right now. Halftheplanet.com is another disability portal that is available to you now at www.halftheplanet.com. And I'm joined on the line now by John Kemp of Half the Planet. Thank you for joining us, John. Tell us about Half the Planet.
Well, the website halftheplanet.com is for people with disabilities, their families and friends, and we're an aggregator of information, products and services that can be used in everyday living for people with disabilities. So we are a wonderful place where people should feel comfortable coming. We hopefully have a feel and a voice that gives comfort and some reassurance as well as trust to people with disabilities and those who are touched by disability every day.
I notice you don't use the word portal there. Are you a portal or is it more than that?
Well, I think it's more than that. We can certainly claim to be a portal or a gateway, but we are really looking at a variety of things that we're doing, which includes repurposing content to be able to offer it to on a customized basis to corporations on behalf of their employees and a variety of other uses. So we're a portal and then we're more.
I notice when looking at the site before this interview that there are some interesting synergies there. For instance, you have quite a lot on the Mothers Against Drunk Driving organization and the recent march on Washington that occurred. So you're obviously looking at the whole disability market in a very broad kind of context.
Well, that's right, and we felt that we couldn't begin to isolate any part of it. All too often, organizations and companies seem to try to pick off a part of the disability community and serve it, and what we find is that it's really all about lifestyles and choices, and we really can't eliminate and don't want to eliminate any one segment. It's as broad as the ADA, the Americans with Disabilities Act, definition, and then some. If people are temporarily disabled, if they are looking for information, products, and services on behalf of their parents or their disabled children, it's a very broad issue. And we try to reach out into lifestyle issues such as you pointed out, civil rights. So that's really what we're intending to do, is to be broad.
So can you give me some more examples of the kind of content that's on the site now and the different categories that you have?
Well, certainly. We have been looking at Know Before You Go, which is an area on our website that we are very proud of, and it's going to take a while to build it out, but we're going to try to make it possible for someone with a disability who comes to our site to query our website and say, I want to eat Chinese food 5 blocks from the White House in an accessible restaurant, and be able to get that information back, which are the accessible, wheelchair-accessible restaurants that fit that description and those modifiers that close to the White House. It's that specific. So Know Before You Go, one of the things we do know is that people with disabilities, and that means a variety of disabilities or their family members, are great planners. I happen to have a disability, and when I think about going someplace in my scooter, the first things I think about is, what's my route of travel? How am I going to get there? When I get there, am I going to be able to get my scooter in the door? Am I going to be able to enjoy, what's going on inside? Can I get to a bathroom if I need that? And I don't necessarily have that information available to me. So our site will have a feature called Know Before You Go. Another area will be Know Before You Vote, or Half the Vote, to take on a bit of a pun with our name. When we think about representing half the world's population, that's our name, Half the Planet. Half the Vote means that if we can get people with disabilities and their families and friends to be voting and be vote smart about disability issues and have the candidates respond to us on queries that we will put to them, we will hopefully have a more engaged voter group of disabled voters. Voters with disabilities tend to vote at a pretty significantly less rate of voting than non-disabled individuals. That's about 15%. But in general, if disabled people work, they vote at the same rate as non-disabled individuals who work. So while we think work is significantly important, it also will affect their voter participation as well. So we're going to make, hopefully, voters smarter about disability issues and how candidates respond to our questions about disability issues. Those are just a couple of features.
The term halftheplanet.com, or the name for the site, is actually quite interesting because many of the statistics you read indicate, I guess, on the most optimistic side that, say, 1 in 4 people have a disability or something like that. But are you using that term because you're factoring in families and others that are affected?
Exactly. As we know, most people with disabilities acquired their disability after birth, and so it's not like our movement is anything like other social minority models, African Americans, Hispanic individuals, anybody like in those categories, because you usually know when you're born or shortly after born that you're a child or you are a member of a minority class. People join the disability movement after birth. I am one of those unusual ones in that I was born without arms or legs and have been using, you know, prostheses and scooters for all my life. And I've grown up with my disability, but my dad, of course, was not a quadruple amputee at birth, and I've learned all about my disability from other people. So we know that disability affects a whole family, affects a community of people, and it's not something that's done in isolation. And so while we may not have the vertical generational transfer of knowledge, we get our information from each other about how to live our lives. And so we count people who are touched by our disabilities every day if they don't have them.
It seems to me that within particularly the sensory disability community, the blind and the deaf communities, that there is some resistance to the kind of genericism that has crept in over the years to do with disability, that there are some disability communities who are proud of their own identities and want to retain them. In designing the site, are you conscious of that, and is it really possible to give all disability groups their due, to do them all justice on a site like this?
Well, that's a great question, and I'm going to say we're going to try to be everything to everybody, but as you know, that's usually doesn't work. I think we certainly recognize people's identities, and we certainly understand when people don't want to be identified by their disability, that the characteristic of disability isn't important to a whole lot of people. It's just something that they've learned to live with, and they don't build their whole identity around it. But there are others who, for example, deaf individuals and the notion of deaf culture is a very significant and important part of their lives. And we are doing everything we can to provide room for them to be able to share their knowledge with each other, their experiences, and to build a base of culture that recognizes deaf culture as a unique and different part of disability culture. In the United States, and I think worldwide, there is this emerging notion of a disability culture, but within the deaf community, they call that whole movement deaf and disability culture. We're trying to give voice and a place for everybody on the site, and we will hope we will do it justice.
When you design the site, are you conscious of web accessibility issues and adhering to those standards?
Yes, we are. We're very, very sensitive to those issues. We are going through a redesign of our site. In fact, we'll go through two redesigns of our site in the next 4 months. We're soon to be out with a new look, a slightly new look on our website, which will improve web accessibility for people with sensory disabilities. We are extremely sensitive to it, and I think what I feel, and I'm as an amputee, I think if people come to the site, they make a judgment about how you deal with all people by the way you serve, especially blind and deaf individuals who are trying to access the site. And the more that we can make our site easy to navigate, easy to use by all people, including those with sensory disabilities, the better trust and loyalty we will have among all people. Some people just aren't aware of the whole notion of web accessibility. We are extremely aware of it, and for those who come to our site who don't need the voice output someday, or at least be able to navigate it, we're sensitive to the fact that, you know, graphics on the site need to be explained if we're going to use them and how they're going to be explained. We think we'll be judged by non-sensory disabled individuals, what they would treat sensory disabled individuals.
How long have you guys been around for? What's the history of this site?
Well, and this is internet time, you know, and it's an amazing... So if I say a year, I hope you understand a year is like you know, 5 years or 10 years. About 13 months ago, the founder and CEO, David Brenner, took his business plan to a print shop, had it duplicated, put it in 3-ring binders, and headed out to find some angel money. And he met with wonderful reception on the first round. Then we received $10 million on our second round from Chase Capital, from Flatiron, and a couple of other venture capital groups. And they really get it, what we're trying to do, building community, trying to reach as many people as possible, and give them a sense of identity and community and service, most of all. We really do believe that in this past year of the corporate existence, or 13 months of the corporate existence, that we are trying to empower people, and that money, if there's ever money to be made here, money will follow our successful completion of our mission. And everyone on the management staff, many of whom have disabilities or are touched by disabilities every day, have that same philosophy. We're not trying to run up a big IPO and launch and sell the company and run away from it and take our money. I think we're in it for the longer haul. We're drilling deeper, providing depth in our content area and our resource area, so that when people come, they can find the stuff that you can't always find. So our founder, by the way, is a parent of three children, one of whom has died. She was a twin and born about 16 years ago, and she was born with very severe and multiple disabilities and passed away at the age of 10 in her sleep from just a terrible brain trauma, a brain hemorrhage. So he has lived a life with a child with a disability, and I bring, and several of us bring, our lifelong experiences with disabilities to the website.
So do you have a business model in mind in terms of eventually making halftheplanet.com pay its way?
Well, that's always the question that people will ask us, you know, how are you going to make any money? And we make money when people come to our site and click through and find what they need and come back again and again. So it's obviously an advertising model with eyeballs on the site or ears on the site or being able to get to our site and enjoy the things that are on there. Another model, of course, is the, you know, notion that we're going to be creating affiliation agreements. We've already got several lined up, and those affiliation agreements give us a stream of revenue. And the third is the whole notion of repurposing content and packaging it up and customizing it in a way that companies would buy it for their employees. Many people work in companies where they are trying to serve the broad personal needs of their employees, whether it be through employee assistance programs or counseling or whatever it might be, and we are going to now start repurposing or rebundling our website information and selling it to companies on a customized basis that they can then take it from there.
And how many people are involved in the organization now to put this whole thing together?
We have, 6 months ago, we launched in November, even though we were incorporated a year ago, launched in November. And in December, we had five people working at the Empire State Building in New York City. And by this last week, we had 70 employees full-time and 30 writers on a freelance basis. All the writers have disabilities, and our employee count in the numbers of people with disabilities in a high 40% mark, so we are really committed to hiring lots of people with disabilities.